My name is Russ Marin. I'm the pastor of Monclova Road Baptist Church. Let me read this verse to you today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I think some of our greatest falls spiritually often follow great victories. Elijah might be the perfect example. After his great victory at Mount Carmel, he miserably failed when he was afraid and fled from Queen Jezebel of Israel when she threatened to take his life. The Bible very clearly teaches that no matter how spiritual you and I are, there still is the capability of us falling into sin. And we need to always be alert, always on guard, always watching, because Satan himself is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Today I'm going to pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a passage where God is giving us examples how Israel was blessed coming out of Egypt and then how they systematically fell into sin, and we are to learn from these examples. So get your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's go right now to the Monclova Road Baptist Church Auditorium for today's message. And then verse 7, he says, "Neither should you be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play." Well, you know the story. Moses goes into the wilderness with the Israelites. They go to Mount Sinai. He goes up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. And while he was out of sight, they said, "We want a God to worship, something that we can see." So Aaron took the gold rings and necklaces and whatever, and he melted down the gold. He poured the melted gold into a mold of a calf, and he made an idol, and they began to worship. And they worshiped that idol. He said, verse 7 says, "Neither should you be idolaters." They substituted a graven image for a holy God. And the Bible says for us to keep ourselves from idols. Now watch these. All these sins give you a premature death. Because when they went into Israel 40 years later, none of these people went except Caleb and Joshua and the ones that were 20 and under. No one else went. I'm giving a warning now tonight. Sin is very dangerous. God hates sin, and many people die prematurely. Let me ask you this question. Does God hate sin today any less than he did back in Moses' time? And the answer is obviously no. God hated sin then, and God hates sin now. And many people die prematurely because of their sin. And these people at the bottom of Mount Sinai are going to die because of their idolatry. Verse 8, "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Spiritual defection, listen, spiritual defection is almost always followed by moral defection. We are inundated with bad music, bad pictures, bad theater, bad books, bad movies, bad so much that we're inundated with. It's going into our head, and end result, moral defection, moral sin. He says, "Neither should there be fornication." Verse 9, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents." This was tempting Christ or testing Christ. And the question is kind of this. You know, can I live in this sin? I'm going to test Christ. I know Christ will judge. I know Christ can judge. I know Christ can take my life early. I know I can have a premature death. But I'm going to test him. See, I'm going to get close enough to sin. I'm going to sin, but I'm not going to do enough where I think that he'll discipline me. We're going to test Christ. We gave the golden calf. We called it Jehovah. We called it God. It was just an image of God. We're going to test him, questioning God. You know, I don't think I don't think God can really provide me a job. Or I don't think God can, I don't think I'm going to wait to get married because I don't think God can really give me the right person. I'm going to get married early or marry the wrong person. Or I'm going to do something because I don't think God is really going to provide for me. You're testing him. You are tempting him. I don't think God can make this better in my life, so I'm going to change things. I'm going to do something wrong because I don't think God's going to do it. He says, neither let us tempt or test Christ as some tested him. In Numbers 21, they tested him. They questioned Moses' leadership, and God sent fiery serpents down. Many died. And then finally, verse 11, or verse 10, he says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Here they reach total. In number 16, it says 14,700 people died because they totally rejected the leadership God had given them, which was Moses and Aaron. They rejected it. Korah rejected it, and they said to Moses, they said, Moses, you take too much upon yourself. You're trying to do too much. Why? We can do it. And yet Moses was God's ordained appointed leader. So they murmured against God's leadership, and 14,700 people die. Now watch this, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples or illustrations, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. God has given these examples that he is going to judge sin. He will judge sin. People die. People get a death penalty because of their sin, and God is faithful to carry that out, and these are given as examples of what the Israelites did in the wilderness. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You may think that you're a strong Christian here tonight, that you would not do what some other people do or what you've heard about them doing or what you've seen people do. You may think that you're strong enough not to do that, but I would say to you, without the daily ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, you and I can fall just like anybody else. And you want to be real careful not to test Christ. How far can I do? What can I do without getting your judgment? Or murmuring against God's authority he has over you? Or in any of these, committing fornication, living in immorality, or lusting after things that you used to have in the world, or worshiping, or having something more important to you than the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge what I say. I have a list here. I made this list up several weeks ago. And I want to run through this list, and that's all I'm going to do tonight. I just want to say to you, sin is very dangerous. I am a sinner. I'm guilty before God. I need the Holy Spirit every day. But I want to say to you that we're in a world that's controlled by Satan. And if you or I fall into sin, there is coming a penalty. As a believer, God deals with believers in this life. Unsaved, if you're here tonight, you're unsaved, God is not going to deal with your sin in this life. Psalm 37:73 says, you'll fall quickly one day. When you die, you'll fall very quickly, and you'll fall very hard, and you'll be in an eternal hell. But for a believer, he will deal with our sin in this life. He's not going to deal with your sin at the Bema judgment seat. He's going to deal with your sin now in this life. Now, payday's not always on Friday. You may do something tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, and you think, wow, what's God's going to strike me down. Well, it may not come on Friday. It may not come on the next Monday or the next Friday or the next Friday, but you are guaranteed this, God is going to deal with it. He is going to deal with your sin. Well, I have a list of things here that sin does to you and it does to me. And very sadly, I think I've experienced about all of these. I don't want to experience them again, but I probably will. Number one, sin makes you a liar. Sin makes you a liar. When Jacob tried to take the blessing away from Esau, and he did, he lied to his father. He became a liar to steal away the birthright of his brother. A liar. I don't want to be a liar. I have lied. I do not make it a regular practice. I am a sinner. Jacob sinned. It made him a liar. Joseph's brothers, when they cast their brother into the pit, and then they sold him and sent him to Egypt, they went back and they lied to their dad. Said, look, Dad, here's his coat. They had covered it with blood, and they gave it to his dad, to Jacob. They became liars. Liars. Sin makes you a liar, because almost immediately you want to cover it up. Number two, sin changes the way that you think. Sin changes the way you think. When Lot went into Sodom and Gomorrah and he lived there, apparently it hurt him spiritually, hurt his wife spiritually, hurt his children spiritually. And when the angels pulled Lot out of Sodom, the Bible says his wife looked back. Wow. There in the presence of those angels, with the wrath of God coming down from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah, her thinking had been influenced so much that she turned back. She wanted to go back to Sodom, back to the sin. Apparently, sin changes the way we think. You and I cannot sin and escape thinking differently about things. Number three, sin changes your personality. There are people, I've experienced this in my own life, that sin will sadden you, that you'll grieve your sin, and you'll carry the burden. David did it in Psalm 32. He was so burdened by his sin that the Bible said he lost his good health. Sin will change the way you think, and sin will change your personality. I know I can think back to this. I wish I could go back there. I was just talking to someone about this yesterday. When people say, would you like to go back to when you were 25 and live again? Most people say no. I don't know why they say that. I would love to go back to when I was 25 or 18. I don't know that I want to go back to 7 or 8. But go back to 17 or 18 and start over, I'd love to do that. But I can remember going back. I can go back in my mind to 10, 11, 12, 13. I was a good kid growing up, and I just was never in trouble. I was very obedient. I don't know the psychology or what the term is. I did whatever my parents say to do. I never got in trouble. I've never been spanked by my mother or father. Once by the first grade teacher, but no one else ever spanked me. That carefree, I'm innocent. I'm not carrying a burden. I can go back there in my mind. Can you do that? Go back in your mind when you think, wow, I had never done this, and I hadn't done this, and I didn't think this way, and haven't been very much influenced by sin. I mean, we watched Ed Sullivan and Gunsmoke on TV, you know, when I was that age. But sin changes your personality. Sin will make you sad. Sin will take away the innocence of your life.